With a simple fork stick, the dowser called 30 gallons per minute of flowing water at 365 feet, which was exactly where the well driller eventually found it. That call leads us to ask, what else might be divined by dowsing?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 781st edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Pisa who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. But whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Ricochet on the boards. Hello, Rick.
Good. Hi, Michael.
A few years back, a friend contracted for a water well to be drilled on his newly purchased ridgetop. Going to build a home. Other landholders on this ridgetop, however, had not fared very well when they dug their water wells, and as a consequence, the wells throughout the neighborhood produced mere trickles of water. Now, the well dweller, a grizzled veteran of decades of drilling, said, I'm not going to drill on this property without a dowser. And so the recommended dowser was contracted to Wichowal. The dowser, an equally grizzled veteran of many years of dowsing, cruised the property behind a well-used forked willow branch, occasionally stopping here and there at the dipping of the forked willow. Finally, he stopped and said, with a great deal of certainty, right here you will find 30 gallons per minute at 365 feet. And that, within a foot or two, is exactly where the well driller found 30 gallons a minute water flowing all the way up to the surface. But there's a little bit more to the story, because yesterday I had the opportunity to take a class in dowsing at the Western Dowsing Conference. And, you know, I sat in class for a couple hours and I learned the procedure for dowsing, and there is a procedure. And after that couple hours in the classroom, I walked out into the woods and I doused myself up my first stream underground. And it was, the stream was I think it was 57 feet down. And it was running at about 15 gallons per minute. And furthermore, I was able to track that stream as it ran underground and follow its course and find the exact point where it would yield the most water. Very interesting. Of course, we didn't dig a well to prove it. But the other dowsers with me pretty much found the same stream. It was truly an amazing feat for somebody who has always wondered about something like that. And so today, that experience leads us to ask, what on earth, what other truths might we be divined by dowsing? And who better to ask than two of the nation's best we have with us today from way over there in Vermont, Stephen Herbert. Welcome to the Food Chain, Stephen.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you aboard. Read your article in Acres USA, The Fruitful Search, The Art of Dowsing Provides Practical Applications. I guess that's where I started getting the notion to do this radio show. I read this article and I thought, this is interesting stuff. Now, you've been a dowser for a long time. What else do you do besides dowsing?
Well, I've been a dowser since 1985, and I dabbled with personal dowsing to begin before I got interested in water. And gradually, I branched out to Earth Energies, and now I'm focusing on dowsing for agriculture and gardening.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you douse for agriculture and douse for gardening, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, in doing that, I work a lot with charts and a pendulum,
mm-hmm.
and I might start from the very beginning with coming up with a design for the garden, and where to place it, and how to orientate it.
So you go through the whole planning process then?
From start to finish. I might proceed then to take a good soil sample using dowsing to help me find exactly where to find the right core samples to make a good representative sample, and send that to the lab. Or I might douse the nutrients in that soil myself by mm-hmm. means of these charts.
Well, and speaking of gardening, yesterday I was while we were out in the field practicing gardening, I thought I'd try an experiment. And I used dowsing to find where the gopher was hiding.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe it works. I mean, well, I'm sure people are listening to this and going, Olson's flipped his lid this time. But what else do you do besides dowsing? What is your day job, Steve?
Oh, I have a background, degrees in geology and anthropology, and right now I'm applying that in my day job as a construction materials inspector.
Good. Okay, fine. And then also with us today, we from the other side of the kitty corner on America, down in San Diego, California, we have Sue Trumpfeller with us. Sue, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
Good to have you aboard. You're down there in San Diego, and you've been dowsing for quite a while as well, correct?
That's right.
And
I started when my children were small.
And what, you know, how did you start dowsing? What was it that led you into becoming a dowser?
I read an article in a woman's magazine in the mid-60s and fascinated me. And I've been using, how to use a pendulum. And I've been using a pendulum for 45 years.
And what do you use your pendulum for these days?
Well, I have clients, so I will help them locate the safe home or the ideal location for a business. I design and build labyrinths. Well, I don't design them. I build labyrinths, so I site the labyrinths. And I've just finished a book called How to Be a Food Detective, and that's exploring how to use or to discover the safe food and beneficial food for yourself in the days of all these challenging toxins.
Good. That's good enough, because that's something we learned yesterday in the dowsing course as well, and certainly something we want to pick up today. So both of you are kind of the opinion then that dowsing can be used for much, much more than simply finding water flowing underneath the ground, correct?
Absolutely. The applications are virtually limitless.
Okay, so that's... go ahead, Sue.
I have written two books, 99 Ways to Use the Pendulum. So, yes, there's many options.
So there's at least 99 ways.
Yes, okay. And 99 more.
Well, let's start with dowsing itself. And dowsing has quite a history going way back in time, at least 500 years, and some say thousands of years. Which one of you would like to pick up that history and kind of fill us in on how, you know, dowsing came down through time to us today? Sue, you want to pick it up?
Well, I'm going to turn that one to Steve.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, just wrote an article about history of dowsing.
Well, good.
American dowser. Goes way back to what we can interpret as pictures of dowsers on cave walls.
You're talking caveman times?
Yes. It could go back that far for interpreting those depictions correctly.
And in more recent European history, for example, it pops up pretty strongly in Germany, correct?
Very strongly in Germany. Germany, it was used more for finding ores and minerals, precious metals. In France, it was used more for finding water, which is how the word sorcerer came about, was the location of sources of springs.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Right. So that's where the word sorcerer came from.
That's right. And of course, then it came to America with the immigrants and became firmly established here. And Vermont, where I live, was a natural place, being a rural state where many people have their own wells for dowsing to proliferate.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, going across the great American West, where there is not too much surface water and the rain certainly doesn't fall that much, dowsing became especially significant, true?
That's true.
And it's kind of like helped the immigrants pioneer their way across the great American West. And today, it's significant business. A lot of professional dowsers, which we're going to get into when we get back from this break. Today, this is a Food Chain Radio program. Mike Lolson here. We're talking about dowsing, how you find water flowing underneath the ground where nobody can see it unless you really pay attention, and then maybe you can find it. I had my opportunity to try it, and hope you will too if this program touches you in that way. We're going to talk a little bit about more about how dowsing is used, and we're going to talk about the skeptics too when we come back. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson today with dowser Stephen Herbert from Vermont, Sue Trumpfeller from San Diego, and you. If you'd like to talk browsing, pick up your phone and join us today. We're at 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, imagine taking a stick outside and walking across the barren land and using that stick, or is it that stick, but finding water flowing hundreds of feet under the ground where you can't see it, can't touch it, don't know it's there, but you know it's there. Is it magic? It's dowsing. What on earth is it? With us today to help us answer that question, we have Stephen Herbert, a dowser from Vermont, and Sue Trumpfeller from San Diego. What exactly is dowsing? Sue, let's start with you.
The term dowsing or douse is to search. So there's several tools that are used to find, to help you search. But the real sensitive part of that is your body. It's a wonderful antenna for picking up like water energy and the oil or gold, many of the minerals.
So you seem to be saying that dowsing then is kind of like using your body as an antenna.
Yes, and the tool, the pendulum or the Y rod, the fork stick, is just like an antenna that's an indicator.
Mm-hmm. Steve Herbert, yesterday in class, my instructor made the assertion that you don't have to buy fancy equipment to become a good dowser. And so to demonstrate this, he made a pendulum of a fingernail clipper hanging on a string and used it as his dowsing device for the rest of the class. So it would seem like it doesn't really matter what you use for a dowsing device. Is that true?
That is true. One of the beauties of dowsing is that you can make a dowsing instrument of simple and inexpensive materials, and so they cost little or nothing to make.
Mm-hmm. And thus, you can use almost anything. Now, when I talk with people about dowsing, they say, is that like a Ouija board, Steve?
Well, I can see how they might think that the two are similar. After all, they're seeking answers from another realm by answers conveyed by an instrument, but beyond that, it's very, very different. When people sit down to use a Ouija board, they're essentially inviting in anything and everything, which would usually be lower level entities. That's very dangerous, and I know people have suffered the consequences for decades after from doing that, but Dowsing is completely different in that the dowser seeks those answers from a source of the highest and purest light only. Secondly, that source may be a higher level in mind of spirit of the dowser himself, so he's not necessarily looking for an answer outside himself.
Okay, so it's almost as if it's coming from within you instead of from without of you.
That's exactly right.
Interesting. Now, let me ask you this. Does everybody have the ability to be a dowser? Or is it just some people who have the ability to be a dowser?
Well, you know, when I did my master's thesis, it was on, in anthropology, it was on speaking in tongues and gifts of the Holy Spirit. From that background, I say that dowsing is a gift of the Holy Spirit.
So that only some people can really do it.
Water dowsing, I think anybody can do. Some might take a little effort, and some it might come easily. But water dowsing, I think essentially any human being can do. But for other kinds of dowsing, people may develop their own specialties, their own unique gifts.
So you kind of find your, it's kind of like an underground river. You don't know where it's going to take you or where it's at, but when you find it, you kind of follow it then.
Yes.
Sue, do you find that to be true? Do you think everybody can douse, or is it just special people who can douse?
Well, I just taught my 8-year-old and my 4-year-old granddaughters to use a pendulum, and they were able to get their yes-no answer quite quickly. We didn't go into great detail, but I would say of all the people that I've taught that some take a little longer than others, but there are very few that don't get a yes-no answer and are absolutely amazed with it. But it's the follow-up and the clarity, as Steve said, with the spirituality and staying in your center and clear on your intention that carries you forth with, I'll say, the accurate answers and clear questions.
Mm-hmm. And would practice have anything to do with that as well?
Absolutely. You can quickly learn how to use any of the tools. It's lots of practice, clarifying your questions, and I think the biggest point to accuracy is having a clear question, because one must remember they're going to get the answer to the question they ask. So is it going to rain today? Yes, someplace in the world. But is it going to rain in Santa Cruz today is a different question.
And thus, questions are a very important element in the whole process of dowsing, then. Let me ask you about this. Are animals dowsers? Can animals...
I believe animals are natural dowsers. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, we may have inherited a dowsing ability from our animal ancestry.
Why would you say that?
Well, I think if there is some scientific explanation for dowsing, I would... give the example of water, that the water molecule is a dipole molecule, meaning it's a slight positive charge on one end, slight negative charge on the other. So when water is flowing en masse, especially through paramagnetic rock, creates a very weak electromagnetic field around it. But weak as it is, the animals, I believe, have evolved the ability to detect that. But animals, when they detect it with their body or energy field, that message goes directly to the brain. But for human beings, though our body or energy field may sense it, that message doesn't get to the brain, so that the dowsing instrument now replaces that connection. The dowsing rod's a way for the subconscious to relay the answer to the conscious mind.
And then that's something I'd like to pick up a little bit further down the line, but right now I'd like to ask about skeptics among us who look at dowsing and go, well, I'm not so sure about this. Now, my instructor yesterday, Ed Stillman, was a former engineer for the military space program. So he, you know, he's a very scientific kind of person, and yet has been teaching dowsing for a couple decades now. And so when I ask him about the skeptics, about the organization that is willing to pay $1 million for somebody who can prove the efficacy of dowsing, he just looked at me and said, you know, somebody wrote a newspaper article about me, and, you know, he followed me in a dowse, and we discovered water. And the headline of the paper was, Ed Stillman Discovers Water. And the subheading was, Scientists Skeptical. And that's kind of the way of it. You know, you discover water, and thus it seems to work. So how do you answer your skeptics that dowsing is some kind of forgery, I guess you'd say? Sue, let's start with you.
Well, as Steve was saying, there's a frequency off water, there's a frequency off gold, there's a frequency off food. And they have radar detectors, and we have electricity. So these work too, and so this unseen energies that were, which is a big word, that we're sourcing and looking for the answers to,
is still going to be a mystery, because we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'll have Sue finish her answer to the skeptics, and we'll pick up Steve's as well. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, dowsing, is it real? What do you think? Right back. Well, folks, imagine taking a simple stick and walking across the land and finding water 365 feet down underground, and knowing without a doubt that this water will pump 30 gallons a minute to the surface. Is that a skill? Is that magic? What on earth is it? Well, the skeptics say it's got to be a forgery. It can't possibly work. But we have a couple people here who have been doing it for a long time, and they say it does. Stephen Herbert, a dowser from Vermont. Sue Trumpfeller, a dowser from San Diego, California. Sue, what do you say to your skeptics, to the people out there that say, this can't possibly be?
I think the proof is in the results. Just like your friend found water on a ridgetop, the results from dowsing for water or gold or any of the other things is... I think the proof is in the results.
Proof is in the pudding. Steve Herbert, what do you say?
I'd like to point out that the dowser is the quintessential empiricist. That is, caring not much for theories, but just using the methods he knows works. And the art wouldn't have persisted over thousands of years if it didn't work.
Go ahead.
One of the most common... arguments I hear skeptics give is regarding water dowsing is that you can find water anywhere if you drill deep enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not much comfort to a homeowner if the driller tells them that, don't worry, we'll find water eventually.
If we drill through to the other side of the earth, maybe.
Right.
Huh?
Right. So the dowser, on behalf of the client, seeks a water source that will provide good quality water in adequate quantities.
Mm-hmm. Now, do dowsers hit every time? Is it 100% certainty?
They don't 100% of the time, and sometimes I think that's just to keep us humble.
Mm-hmm.
Have a miss once in a while. But a good master dowser has a typical success rate of about 85%.
Which is pretty significant when you think about it, 85%.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, like to take people through a quick course in dowsing. How to dows. 1A here on the Food Chain Radio program, we have a couple master dowsers. And yesterday the class was kind of laid out pretty simply in kind of three simple steps. Clear your mind, define the question, and then ask for permission. So let's go through these really quickly. Let's start with Steve. Why is it necessary to clear one's mind before dowsing?
Well, the answers are going to come from a higher level in mind and spirit, and you want to make yourself a clear and open channel to that. So becoming still in your mind and receptive to those answers is critically important.
I sometimes think that we people, we're so subsumed in the cacophony of everyday life that we can't perceive like 98% of what's going on around us. That ring true to you, Sue?
Yes, absolutely. There's when I have clients begin to douse, I have them take a deep breath and to get themselves in that centered place of clarity.
And breathing is always important for that. So, Sue, define the question. You brought that up a little bit earlier, but that was something that our instructor really, put a hit with a hammer. You got to get this right.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. The essential point is the clarity of your question and defining your terms. So you can use a random term and not be clear on what it means. Like I said about the rain, you've got to be in the now and clear in that point. And if you're working for a client, you have to be really clear on what the intention of the client is. As I'm helping people locate homes for themselves that are safe and all the qualities that they're looking for, they have to be defined. It's not my terms that I ask for, but from theirs.
Steve, they talked a lot about the importance of the word now and how you have to bring everything into to your own personal now. What do they mean by that?
Well, I think in asking a dowsing question, it is critically important in the phrasing of the question or request. That it be precise, literal, and specific. And it's almost like a computer, too. There are defaults. If you don't specify the time element, the default is the now. So if you're dowsing another point in time, you have to specify that.
Otherwise, it could read any. One of the interesting things that was said yesterday about map dowsing, how you take a map, and you're going to douse it for and ask it a question. You have to make sure that it's not a two-sided map.
Yes.
Because you might get an answer from the wrong side, the right answer from the wrong side of the map. So that's the importance of really being specific with your questions, right? And the third step, of course, is asking permission. Now, that's a really interesting notion. Why would you have to ask permission to douse? Steve, we'll start with you on this one.
Well, I think that goes back to what I said earlier, that we make sure our answers are coming from only a source of the highest, purest, and light. But, a source that is actually a higher part of our own self. But the third precaution is the dowser typically asks the questions, can I, may I, should I?
Right.
Starting any dowsing.
That's kind of what I was thinking of as the permissions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And the can I part refers to, do I have the ability to do this?
Mm-hmm.
The may I is do I have the permission? Giving it over to that higher power to know that it is the right thing to do. And
so that's kind of an ethical question, right? May I do this?
Yes, we do pay attention to ethics and dowsing.
So it's almost like you're asking the good Lord, Lord, may I do this dowsing?
Yes.
And if you can say yes to that, then you proceed to, well, should I? Sue, who do you ask should I?
The should I is the is it the right time? Am I in the right frame of mind? Sometimes you can be in a wrong location where there's confusion or disruption. So it's that same place of being in a clear space.
Mm-hmm. And can I? Steve?
That referring to, do I have the ability? Well, sometimes there can be an interference just because, say, you're outside dowsing a well site and it's a really cold, wet, rainy day. Maybe just the physical discomfort is the interference.
So
or
then
you, or maybe you drank too much coffee that morning.
Ah, so this is really like asking yourself for permission, mm-hmm. then too. Mm-hmm. Thus, the permissions. First, we clear our mind, we define the question, and then we ask for permissions. When we come back from the break, we'll find out what happens next when we take that dowsing rod or pendulum, and we go out and ask a question. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Dowsing is the subject. Right back. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, I did give it a try yesterday. This dowsing business, I cleared my mind. I defined the question to something like this. Please take me to the source of flowing water underneath this ground and let me know when I've found the area of maximum flow. And that's what I asked. And so I had some L rods that are just little metal rods, and they pointed right in this direction, and I followed it. And when I got to a certain point, the L rods crossed in an X as if X marks the spot. I then asked I asked additional questions. How deep is this? Is it deeper than 30 feet? Yes. Is it deeper than 50 feet? Yes. Is it 55 feet or so? Yes. And I asked for the flow, and it told me exactly what the flow of water would be when pumped to the surface. And I scratched my head. Goodness sakes, is it really this simple? Steve Herbert, is it really that simple?
It can be simple. My method is when I'm working for a client to define my question in terms of four different parameters, their preferred location, the depth, the yield, and the quality, so that what I find should be good quality water, at least 5 gallons a minute, less than 300 feet deep, in the area that's accessible to the drill rig, and so forth.
So that by defining your questions, you get rid of all of the superfluous things that you can possibly find.
Exactly, yeah. Dowsing's as much excluding everything you don't want as finding what you really are looking for.
Mm-hmm. As one of the contractors yesterday suggested the possibility that when looking for pipes under the ground, he could distinguish between different kinds of pipes. For example, he could ask to find only the gas mains and exclude the water lines, and thus be able to do that.
That's a good example of excluding what you're not looking for. It's all in wording the question.
And there you are. Sue Trumpfeller in class yesterday, the instructor told us how he used dowsing to select a new dentist when he moved into a new town.
Mm-hmm.
Can you actually do things like that?
Oh, yes, and you can select a good dentist, and then when you get one of the attendees at the West Coast Conference was a dentist, and when Jim spoke, he passed around all the additives that the dentist would use and had us test each one of those additives. Used in his dental practice to see which ones were safe for us, which was a very interesting experience. It went beyond the picking the dentist.
Mm-hmm. Steve Herbert, yesterday, Ed Stillman brought out a bag of apples. He had several different kinds of apples in them, and he took them all out, and they were all beautiful. He took this absolutely stunning red delicious apple. It was a deep burgundy red, giant, delicious-looking red apple. and he used his pendulum and asked to define the life force in that apple, which is to say, life force being, you know, provides beneficial nutrients, is good to eat, good for your body, or is it life force depleting? Does it take away those things? And, you know, you look at this apple, it was absolutely stunning, and he asked the question and used his pendulum on a schedule, on a scale of 0 to 5, with 5 being very good, 0 being very bad. The apple scored a 0.9, and, oh my goodness, it was an absolutely stunning looking apple. And of course, it turned out to be a commercial red delicious apple, and we all know what they taste like, even though they look really good. They're just without life. And he took a little apple that didn't look quite so good, and it scored a 4.5, and it was a local organic apple that was relatively fresh and full of life. And he just did this with his pendulum, and yet you knew that if were you to taste those apples, you would get exactly the same thing. So can you use, or how do you use dowsing to see what's inside of things like that?
Well, just that same way, and that dowsing's most useful when you can't really tell from your senses or any other information at hand what you need to know. So that's when you need to access that higher state of mind or spirit for those answers that knows more than you do. It can be applied to anything you eat, or you can use it in everyday life, or looking for a job, or house hunting, or relationships, or really useful to use when you're traveling. Just all kinds of applications.
So it's not just finding water under the ground. Dowsing can be used to look into many different things, and the principal instrument in the dows, of course, is you as a person. It's all inside of you. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. One more quick break, and when we come back, the big question: what other truths might be divined by dowsing? With Sue Trumpfeller, a dowser from San Diego, California, and Stephen Herbert, a dowser from Vermont. We have the country kitty-cornered today, and we're dowsing our way all the way across this big, beautiful landscape of ours. We will be right back after these messages. Please do stay tuned. If you'd like, 831-479-1080. Do stay tuned. So in the dowsing seminar yesterday, the instructor held up 2 cans of enchilada sauce, and then he put them on his desk, and then he projected the pictures of both up onto the wall. And he said, okay, I want you to douse each one of these. Here's can number 1, here's can number 2. Tell me which has the best enchilada sauce on it. Well, they're both exactly the same company, and you could tell no other difference. But it turned out that one of these cans had expired in 1998, and the other was still had under its expiration date. So I was not able to douse that, but some in the class were. I think I was just kind of confused by the real cans and the projected cans. But do you think it's really possible to see, to know if something inside a can is good, Sue?
Yes, I do. There's, like you were right, dowsing the vital force of the apple. The same is true of food in cans, food in boxes, loaves of bread. I have been dowsing the grocery store ads, and so things are on sale. So I will test mostly the produce for their vital force or their safety. So
in the newspaper ad, you do this in a newspaper?
No, I will douse the newspaper ad for, you know, the lemons, the celery, the green peppers, and broccoli, and test to see, you know, some stores might have good tomatoes and other stores. In the world of toxic sprays and GMOs and all that, I just test all my food.
Steve, can you test food for, like, genetically modified organisms?
There's no reason why you can't. I just word the question in the right way, and if you're truly tapping into an omniscient level of mind, it should be entirely possible.
How does one who has never considered the art of dowsing, how would one become involved in something like this, Steve? I mean, how would I take lessons if I knew nothing about dowsing and wanted to know what's in the can of enchilada sauce?
Well, it all begins with learning about the tools that you use, whether it be L-rods, Y-rods, or pendulum or bobber. But once you, as you discovered, you can learn to use a dowsing instrument in a few minutes, but you'll spend the rest of your life developing accuracy, and that's where you're developing skill, raising the right question and so forth.
Sue, do you still practice your art, having done this for 20 years?
All the time I'm learning. And for people who want to learn how, I have a website that's just for how to use the pendulum.
Oh, what is it?
It's called dowsingcoach.com.
Dowsingcoach.com. So I can go there, I can take out my pendulum, and I can go to dowsingcoach.com and get tuned into that whole process. Steve, how do we find you?
Well, I'm in Vermont, and anybody that's nearby can come and find me at a dowsers meeting, and that's really the best place to learn. I never had a teacher with a capital T. I just learned to douse by rubbing elbows with other dowsers.
And what could be more fun than rubbing elbows with dowsers? Thank you, Stephen Herbers. Thank you, Sue Trumpfeller. And thank you all for tuning in this hour of What's Eating What Radio on the Food Chain, talking dowsing and you. Can you use dowsing to find your great secrets in life? Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio on the Food Chain. And do remember, cheap food is not. Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.